question is that I want to know how many of you are initiated devotees. I want to know how many are initiated. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And does that mean that the rest of you are not initiated? So I want to also ask another question. And this is a question that generally devotees don't like to be asked. Because maybe it starts to sound political. But may I ask, who is the representative of Krishna who has given you the Diksha mantras? Diksha mantra? Do you all have Diksha, or you only have Nam, or what? Some of you are twice initiated, twice born? Yeah. Okay, so may I ask who are your spiritual masters?
I was a disciple of Hare Krishna Swami and now I'm a shelter of Indradana Swami.
Indradana Maharaj?
Yes.
Okay. And?
Sabha Smita Krishna Maharaj.
Bhopal Krishna Maharaj?
Smita Krishna
Maharaj. Smita Krishna Maharaj. And?
I was a disciple of Surya Swami and Krishna and took shelter from the Bhaktivinoda Swami.
Okay. And?
Lokanath
Swami. Lokanath Maharaj? And? Smita Krishna Maharaj. Any others?
Smita Krishna.
Yourself? Yeah. Now, the reason why I ask this is because generally, there should be the permission from the Diksha Guru for one should think to hear from another Vaishnava. I have a saying, different moods for different dudes. Different moods for different dudes. So, different Vaishnavas will have different approaches. Generally, according to the individual's adhikar, or according to an individual's leaning toward a particular aspect of devotional life, the mood will be different. Just like some devotees are gung ho for book distribution. And that's also good. But they may not appreciate it if their disciples hear Indradas saying that actually book distribution is not enough. You know, then suddenly, the blood boils. And and they say, who is this angered us? And then they'll instruct everybody, don't hear from him. That's not Prabhupada's mood. But, you know, honestly speaking, it was Srila Prabhupada who appeared in a dream and told me that. So, you know, somebody can say, well, that was Prabhupada in the dream, but wasn't the real Prabhupada. But for me, it was the real Prabhupada. So, they say Prabhupada's mood, Prabhupada's mood. But does anyone really know what was Prabhupada's mood? You know, I would venture to say that at different times, under in different circumstances, Prabhupada exhibited various moods. You know, and one disciple of Prabhupada may have been present to witness Prabhupada in a particular mood, and another disciple of Prabhupada may have been present at another time to witness Prabhupada, perhaps in a maybe slightly different or very different mood. So, and even different devotees, when they read Prabhupada's books, they pick up on different points of interest that touch their hearts individually. So, as such, different devotees will, let's say, represent different aspects of the personality of Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada actually had quite a variegated personality. Just like in his Bhaktivedanta purports, according to Prabhupada himself, he says that within those purports are included his personal ecstasies, his bhavas. But in the purports where you'll find that Prabhupada is advocating the re-establishment of Varnashram and human society and various other rather sub-religious external, you know, aspects of hardly even Krishna consciousness. It's not exactly Krishna consciousness. It's something which is rather superfluous to Krishna consciousness, but sometimes Prabhupada would go to great lengths to describe the importance of such things. So then someone might conclude that re-establishing Varnashram Dharma in human society is Prabhupada's mood. But someone with a little deeper insight may be able to penetrate through the external demeanor of Srila Prabhupada's presentation to understand his actual mood behind what he's talking about. So, different devotees will glean different meanings, you know, from what they're reading in Srila Prabhupada's purports even. You know, someone will see the all importance of reestablishing Varnashram Dharma, and some devotees may see beyond that and appreciate how compassionate Srila Prabhupada is, and try to even go beyond that, because there's a compassion which is exhibited externally, and then even deeper than that is the source of that compassion. Why that compassion is there? What is the ultimate goal of his being compassionate to the fallen conditioned souls? What's the ultimate goal? So, ultimately, that has to be ascertained. It's like if you see the top of a skyscraper, you know, what's on the surface, so to speak, but you don't understand the foundation, then you don't really understand what is a skyscraper. You know, so you may understand something superficially about Krishna or about Lord Chaitanya or about, you know, Srila Prabhupada. Or about the Sankirtan movement. Or about ourselves. You see? Without actually going very deep into the heart of the matter. So, you know, I can't, it's not my business, it's not my duty to pretend to know what kind of consciousness or what kind of mood my godbrothers have, you know, in various corners of the world. I'm not omniscient. I don't know what turmoil is going on in their heart. I don't know if they're feeling intense separation from Krishna. I don't know what level they're actually on. Some of them may be, you know, still struggling with the anarthas, like Harikesh Maharaj obviously was not on a very highly elevated platform, otherwise why did, you know, things turn out the way they did? Some of them may be on the Nishta platform as beginning Madhyamadikaris. Some of them may be, you know, at the stage of Ruchi. Some of them may be, you know, chanting Shudanam. Some of them may be, you know, having intense attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna at the stage of Asakti. Some of them may be even transcendental to the influence of the three modes of material nature at the stage of Bhava.
Mm-hmm. možná, že někteří cítí prostě hlubokou připoutanost ke Krišnovi a sama první háva.
Those who are at the ruchi stage and above are chanting Shudanam. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that those who chant Shudanam from the stage of ruchi, they are pure devotees, and those who are still on the clearing stage chanting Nalabhas, they are Vaishnavabhas. They are not yet pure devotees in the real sense. And there may even be, I keep hoping and praying that Prabhupada's success would go so far as to actually have at least a handful of devotees who are relishing rasa, relishing prema, prema rasa.
Já opravdu doufám, že Prabhupáda dosáhl toho úspěchu, že měl vlastně spoustu takových udaných žáků, kteří dosáhli úrovně rásy, prémy.
But I'm not one to, you know, second guess everyone's motives.
Ale já nejsem ten, kdo by měl prostě odhadovat ty nálady, které by měl ty.
It's said that a disciple should live with a spiritual master in his ashram for a year before considering, or let's say live with a Vaishnava in the ashram of that Vaishnava for a year before considering that Vaishnava as one's guru and approaching him for diksha or any such things. So if it takes someone a year to suss somebody out and figure out, you know, what level he's on and whether he can actually trust that that person is going to take him back to Godhead, you know, the whole way, you know, from beginning to ultimate perfection, you know, in order for someone to have such faith, he has to live with the spiritual master for a year. So then how am I going to figure it out if I don't hardly even see them coming to Vrindavan, you know, and I'm sitting here in Vrindavan and they're traveling all over the world preaching, I'm sure. But you know, I don't know who they are, I don't know what they're doing, I don't know what consciousness they have, etc.
Když trvá člověku rok, aby zjistil, jako jestli může v toho druhá požít svoji plnou víru, a jestli je on schopný vzít od té začátku, až nakonec té cesty, tak jak mám vidět já, jako jak na jakýchto úrovni, moje motivy a když už já vidím, já jsem tady vyjednávanou a jenom jak občas vidím, kolikrát jsem nějak večer vyjednávanou a jak mám vidět, jak na tom se vůbec to, co chtějí.
And I don't have any disciples.
Já nemám žádný žáky.
Thank God. Save myself some trouble, right? So it's like I feel like, you know, if I speak before a group of devotees who are initiated by other god brothers of mine, or even god nephews of mine these days, I feel like I'm kind of like tiptoeing through the tulips.
Že když tady už posledky mám tady hodně přeskupinou o Vaishnavu, který jsou zasvěcení od různých duchovních bratří, tak se připadám, jako kdybych prostě šel po špičkách do pána.
I don't want to disturb anybody.
Nechci nikoho prostě rozrušit.
I don't want to make anybody mad at me. You know, I don't want the Maharajas to come barking up my tree. Or breathing down my neck. You know, but the plain and simple fact is that Eindridas is Eindridas, and Eindridas is naturally inclined to speak according to my heart's calling, according to my realizations in Krishna consciousness. And I don't know how everybody else is going to respond to that, but I'm who I am, and if they don't like it, they can lump it, or they can throw me out on my ass, you know, according to their, you know, predilection. That's, you know, I'm prepared for anything, but I don't want to commit any offense. So therefore, my suggestion is that before anyone comes, you know, forward to inquire from Eindridas about anything or ask Eindridas to speak about anything, at least kindly make sure that your spiritual master has no objection to the idea. Beforehand. So, on that note, I should ask another question. Shall we go on with any further discussion?
At least Smita Krishna Swami's disciples got permission. Today I told Guru Maharaj that we are going to have the session today.
Yeah.
And he said, well, that's a good thing to do today.
Alright, so, and the next question is, what is the topic of discussion?
Maybe.
What, you know, maybe you want to ask questions and then we can just rant and rave according to our, you know, feelings about various things. At least if you ask questions, then I can more or less know what level of discussion should be there. And maybe try to bring it up a little bit, if necessary. What do you think? Are there any questions about anything? Would you think that maybe, you know, insignificant Eindridas would be able to shed some light on for your spiritual benefit? We have a question over here.
Is there an evident source of Prabhupada's mercy upon us that we can take it further and further and further?
Yeah.
I have got some idea of what it could be, but I would be interested to hear what the source is.
What is the source of Srila Prabhupada's mood of compassion?
Yeah.
Where does it stem from, is the idea? It stems from the heart of a Rajbasi. An eternal Vrishbhasa. Eternal. And not an ordinary Vrishbhasa. No Vrishbhasa is ordinary. But he is a very special Vrishbhasa. It's just like how Srila Prabhupada very much appreciated, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked to hear Gadadhar Pandit reading from the Bhagavatam, where there's discussions of, about Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, or Dhruva Maharaj. These discussions, it's described that Mahaprabhu would hear these, you know, hundreds of times, these particular chapters. And Srila Prabhupada also very much appreciated, and he more or less again and again harped on Prahlad Shiksha, that I'm not, you know, happy to see the plight of all these fools and rascals, you know, in this world, who are not engaging themselves in pure devotional service.
I think
Srila Prabhupada very often would harp on this this point, that this is the mood of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is compassionate upon fallen conditioned souls. The Vaishnava is paradukha-dukhi. Means that he suffers to see others suffering. And therefore, he's para, you know, he engages in para upakara, to do good for others. And this is the mood of a Vaishnava, as exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj. Now, someone, as some of the Babajis in Vrindavan, they conclude that because they've heard how Prabhupada very much appreciated and also in certain respects appeared to exhibit the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. So they may conclude, and they do conclude, that Prabhupada was having the Prahlad Bhav. But I'm sorry, I disagree with him. Prahlad Maharaj is an elementary example of the Vaishnava principle of compassion toward others that can be easily seen, appreciated, identified with by the neophyte devotees. The exhibition of compassion, that paradukha-dukhi mood, which causes the exhibition of compassion in the form of para-upakara, that is not merely a matter of seeing people suffering in various ways, like being napalmed, you know, or being nuked, or like trees with bugs eating their way up the bark, inside the bark, and Woody Woodpecker coming along and, you know, birds eating bugs and, you know, any number of horrendous suffering conditions of life in this material world, or the suffering in hell. Rikshit Maharaj was concerned about, you know, the sufferings in hell and how people may be delivered from hellish conditions. So compassion is, you know, on an elementary platform, one may think that compassion means to relieve people of their various types of sufferings.
Ten skutečný soucit není právě tohoto vidět, prostě jak lidi trpí těm okolnostem,
But actually the real compassion is not just a matter of feeling sorry for people because they're suffering in various material ways. The rascals deserve to suffer. They turn their back on Krishna. You know, turn their face away from Krishna. We all deserve to suffer a lot more than we actually have. You know, due to our abject foolishness. You know, we need to be taught good lessons. So, if someone who has a little deeper understanding of the principle of compassion will not think in terms of relieving people of their material suffering. Material suffering is really an insignificant suffering compared to spiritual suffering. What is spiritual suffering? Spiritual suffering means the distress of being separated from Krishna. That's why, if you've ever heard any of my katas or classes or any such things recorded, you'll hear me say things like, you know, I don't consider there to be any difference between Vaikuntha and hell. How can you live without seeing the face of Krishna? What's the use of a Krishna without a flute? What's the use of Krishna without Radharani? You know, how can we continue to rot in the consciousness of being satisfied in any other condition of existence, either material or spiritual, you know, devoid of the association of Krishna and his eternal associates in the realm of Raja? How can anyone continue to go on in that condition of existence? Not even realizing that there's suffering. Not even realizing that, you know, they're missing out on all the fun. You know, in the Nitya Leelas of the Lord. That's real suffering. Can you imagine being stuck in Vaikuntha for the rest of eternity without Krishna? without Radharani. That's a horrible proposition. You know, so what to speak of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, you know, in this material world suffering in various material ways. What about compassion for all the souls that somehow or other got stuck in Vaikuntha, in that cell block? There's more chances of people getting an opportunity to progress to the realm of Braja from Martyalok than there is chances of progressing from Vaikuntha to the realm of Golok. So it's better to be here suffering Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi with at least a prospect of coming in contact with the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Let me suffer millions of lifetimes, you know, if at least here in this material world there's a hope of, you know, getting light ray, you know, of Golok. Even the Golok of Braja Parikar of Radha and Krishna go through the Vaikuntha realm. It's very difficult for them to convince the Vaikuntha Pasis, who are experiencing eternity, knowledge, and bliss in their own way and attached to the Aishwarya aspect of Godhead. The Aishwarya Leelas of Krishna or Narayan, it's very difficult for them to give up those attachments, because those attachments are attachments to something which is eternal. Whereas here in the material world, whatever attachments we have are attachments to something which is temporary. So at least we have to change the ruse, you know, again and again and again. So we really can't be so attached, even though we have these material attachments. Still, there's better chances of being able to give up the attachments that are cultivated in this material realm than to give up the attachments that are cultivated in the eternal realm of Vaikuntha.
Že my tady jsou připoutanci, které máme, jsou všechny dočasné, když to na Vaikuntě, oni jsou připoutaní něčemu, co je věčné, jako na poznávání blaženosti. Takže tady prostě, když je všechno možné, tak je tady pořád větší naděje, se toho prostě dá dočasné.
At least here in Bhartvarsha, on this middle planetary system, Martyalok, where there's very evident birth, death, old age and disease, we can more or less realize how horrible material existence is. And we're more or less open for whatever mercy we can get. So when the Gaudiya Acharyas come to give us, you know, entrance into the realm of Braja, we're more than happy, you know, to at least endeavor to go in that direction. You know, so it's easier for us. Much easier. Is there anyone here that doesn't want to ultimately attain the realm of Braja, to play with Krishna, dance with Krishna? You know?
Thank you.
serve Radharani. Is there anyone here that would be satisfied to wind up in Vaikunth for the rest of eternity? Raise your hand. You see, it seems like, you know, the message has come through somehow or other, somewhere along the line. The idea, you know, so some hopes, some aspirations for something beyond that must be manifesting in your hearts. Now, if you want to play with Krishna in the land of Braja, if you want to serve Srimati Radharani and her girlfriends, if you want to play leapfrog with the cowherd boys, or whatever mood you prefer, you know, in context of the Braja Leelas, if you want to do these things, then the next question we have to ask is, how do we get there? We're not going to get there if all we understand about Srila Prabhupada is his external demeanor. Or if we have a superficial understanding of his preaching mood. There's something which is driving that preaching mood. And that is to elevate as many people as possible to the realm of Braja. As many people as possible. To somehow or other help to increase their sukriti so that they can actually have strong faith in the objective of attaining the Braja Leelas and the process by which the Braja Leelas can be attained. Srila Prabhupada is not a representative of Vaikuntha. He's not a representative of Aishwarya Mai Vaidhi Bhakti. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada personally stated in a class here in Vrindavan, in 1972, I think, or 74, I can't remember, maybe it was 74, he said that Vaidhi Bhakti is like licking the outside of the jar of honey. Now, Vaidhi Bhakti may bring us into the proximity of the jar of honey. But we have to take it a step further. We have to open the jar and taste. That is Radha Bhakti.
Why does she need to open the jar?
The means by which the jar may open is the accumulation of lobha moya, bhakti unmukhe sukriti, by associating with rasik Vaishnavas. That's the only way, the only way, the only way. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. Rasik Vaishnavas, they have the key by which the lock on that jar of honey can be dismantled. And it's really not very difficult to get the association of Rasik Vaishnavas. As a matter of fact, the true form of our sampradaya is a disciplic succession of Rasik Vaishnavas. Is there anyone here who has not recognized Srila Prabhupada himself as the Rasik Vaishnava? So, but according to the inadvertent association with Rasik Vaishnavas in previous lifetimes, one in this lifetime may or may not have, depending on the degree of association from previous lifetimes and the degree of association in this lifetime, may or may not have a highly evolved level of lobhamoya shraddha.
Ale podle toho, jak jsme se združovali minulý život, nebo i v těchto životech, se vlastně kam bakry tak může nebo nemusí mít vyvinutou tu lobhamoya rasika shraddhu.
Bhakti is independent.
Bhakti je nezávislá.
There's nothing but bhakti which generates bhakti. But according to the type of bhakti that one associates with, that type of bhakti will be aroused in one's own heart. It's just like, I'll make up an example on the spot. Krishna is giving it, this example to me right now, that if you have this cool color white light, then the colors in your dresses and dhotis and whatnot, in your bodily features, they will not appear to be so vibrant because they're more or less washed with a cool light, like moonlight. But if you have a warm colored light, it's like if you're out in the moonlight, you can't see the colors very well. But certain colors will come out, like white. You'll see white, but you may not see red very nicely in the moonlight. But if you have like a warm white color light, or if you're out in the sunlight, then red will come out very nicely, you know, yellow, orange, these nice warm colors will come out nicely.
když píšete na tom teplém světle, jako je třeba na slunci, tak takový teplé barvy, je to červená, oranžová, prostě to září.
Or, another similar example, if have you ever been in a room which only has red light on? You know, then it's like blue gets washed out with red. It looks kind of black, isn't it? But red looks very red. Or if you go into a room with blue light, the red gets washed out, and the blue becomes vibrant. So, this example is to show how even though inherent within the color of your dress are all these colors, but according to the association, one color will come out and another color may be repressed. Isn't it? So similarly, if you associate with Aishwarya Bhaktas who are representative of the realm of Vaikuntha, who have no capacity to display the vibrant colors, so to speak, of the realm of Braja, then even though inherent within the heart of the living entity is the capacity for culturing the moods of Braja, that capacity will not be realized. The potential will not be realized, but rather something of a different nature will come out.
Tak to prostě se tam nestane skutečností, protože tam bylo proto potlačené Aishwarya.
So even though that capacity for culturing the mood of Braja is inherent within us, if we associate with the Aishwarya Bhaktas, we cannot awaken our natural constitutional relationship with Krishna, our natural constitutional rasa, you know, in the Braja Bhavas. So, some devotees, even in our Hare Krishna movement, which is an extension of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and meant to propagate the Gaudiya Siddhanta for the benefit of everyone, some devotees, perhaps due to insufficient association with Rasik Vaishnavas in previous lifetimes, their Sukriti is meager, and therefore their receptivity to the message of the Gaudiya Sampradaya may be less than desirable.
Když naše Hare Krishna je vlastně prodloužení Gaudiya Vaishnavské Sampradáji, tak díky tomu, že někteří se nemohli, nemají třeba zvnou životu tolik, neměli tolik společnosti, rasika Vaishnavů, tak potom
jejich schopnost jako pochopit Gaudia jako santu je prostě tím omezená, proto oni nemůžou předávat.
So many devotees may not actually be able to grasp the message which is coming across, and because they only have a certain level of faith or a certain kind of faith, they will see what they're able to see, or they will see what they want to see in the teachings of the Gaudiya Sampradaya or the teachings of Srila Prabhupada.
Vidí jenom to, co jsou schopni vidět, vidí s tím svým schopnostem, anebo vidí jenom to, co chtějí vidět v tom učení se vám
učení. Díky nedostatku, anebo druhu míry,
které už nefunguje.
You can help each other, there's no problem. I'm still answering his question. So, some devotees will not, due to a lack of receptivity, even if they've been in the movement for a long, long time, or maybe due to the fact that their faith is still not sufficiently evolved, they're maybe not chanting the pure name, you know, they're not, or maybe even they're chanting the offended name because they're maintaining material attachments even after hearing so many instructions from Srila Prabhupada about the problem of maintaining material attachments.
Nespívají čisté jméno, nebo že pokračují v udržování svých připoutaností, přestože slyšeli tolik pokynů od Šily Prabhupády. Tak.
So these devotees may not be able to actually appreciate very deeply where Srila Prabhupada's mood of compassion is coming from and where it intends to take us. Srila Prabhupada's compassion is not the compassion of Prahlada Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his compassion wasn't the compassion of Prahlada Maharaj. Lord Nityananda's compassion, which is even more compassionate than Lord Chaitanya's compassion, is not the compassion of Prahlada Maharaj. Lord Nityananda's compassion and Lord Chaitanya's compassion far surpasses whatever little compassion Prahlada Maharaj exhibited.
Soucit Nityananda Prabhu a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dalece převyšuje jakýkoliv trochu soucitu, co měl Prahlada Maharaj.
Lord Nityananda's compassion is the compassion of one of the, if not practically the most important, topmost Vrajbasis. Compassion.
Soucit Nityananda Prabhu byl ten nejvyšší, nejskvělejší soucit Vrajbasim.
And Srila Prabhupada, as many of us have heard, is an incarnation of Nityananda Swarup Shakti of Ish, isn't it? Said like that sometimes. Srila Prabhupada himself told that some in the beginning they will recognize him as a great acharya.
Prabhupada řekl, že někteří ho rozpoznali jako velkého acharyu na začátku.
And but then later, they'll understand him as a Shakti or Ishavatar. But which Shakti? Nityananda Swarup Shakti. Can anyone say who is Nityananda Swarup Shakti? The topmost aspect of Nityananda Swarup Shakti is Janava Mata. Who is Janava Mata? Can anyone say? Anamunjari. Radharani's younger sister. Who is Adi Guru in the Madhurya Ras. She makes arrangements for the living entities to gain access to the service of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So, although Nityananda manifests various leelas, just like Lord Chaitanya manifests various leelas, Mahaprabhu was the embodiment of Radha Bhav, but he also accepted the moods of Rukmini sometimes, sometimes the moods of Lalita Devi, sometimes the moods of Bhadrakali, sometimes the moods of Lord Shiva, sometimes the moods of, you know, Narayan, different moods, because ultimately, as the combination of Radha Krishna, you know, all these various tattvas are manifesting from him or her combination.
Představitelem Ráda Bhávy, on také měl v těch svých různých zálohách představoval různé manifestací Lality, Šivy, Bhadrakali a všechny
podobné Narayana a jiných. Šiva Narayana, Balaram sometimes. It's like Nityananda, Balaram Hoiva Nitai, but Lord Chaitanya was relishing the mood of Balaram. You know, bring me wine, with, you know, where's my plow? Like that. You know, so similarly, Balaram huelo nitai, but Balaram is not just nitai. I mean, excuse me. Nitai is not just Balaram. Just like Brajananandan ye Sachisutta Hoylo say. But Sachisutta is not just Brajananandan. He's something more than Brajananandan. So simply, Nitai is Balaram, but he's something more than Balaram. He's combined with his Swarup Shakti. And just as Lord Chaitanya is combined with his Swarup Shakti, Krishna's Swarup Shakti, Radha, Radha and Krishna combined, yet there is the differentiated manifestation of Radha in the form of Gadadharva. So similarly, Nitai is combined with various Shaktis, including his topmost Shakti. In this way, Balaram's desire to relish the bhavas of his Supreme Swarup Shakti were fulfilled in Gaur-lila, in the form of Nitai. And yet, his topmost Swarup Shakti is also differentially manifested as Janava Mata. And Vasudha Mata is also considered a manifestation of Ananda Manjari.
Dalších prostě z těch starů však, a k tomu ještě má vedla jako další rys, nebo tam nejvíc toho nejvyššího soucitu v podobě Jahalamapy.
It is mentioned that Krishna Shakti Vini Nahitara Pravartana, that without being empowered by Krishna Shakti, no one can propagate the holy name of the Lord. You know, so when we say that Prabhupada is Shakti Vesha Avatar, and as it has been deemed by other God brothers of Srila Prabhupada and admitted by Srila Prabhupada himself, as far as I remember, that he is Shakti Avesha of Nityananda, Sarup Shakti. It should not surprise anyone that compassion which he's exhibiting, which Srila Prabhupada is exhibited and is exhibiting, is the compassion of Lord Nityananda, or Janavamata, Janavanitai, who are inclusive of the Anangamanjari Tattva.
By nás nemělo překvapit, že jeho soucit je soucit Nityananda Svarup Shakti, potažmo také Jahnava Mati.
Kteří zahrnují
Arangu Manjala.
Our Harinam initiation is coming through the Rupa Nuda Sampradaya.
Takže Harinam zasvěcení pochází
We've all heard about how we're Rupanugas. But our Diksha mantras, our Diksha initiation, is coming from Janavamata. So we should not underestimate the power. Although Nam is considered to be the most complete and the wider circle, but our mantras that we've received from Janavamata are also Radhmayi mantras. They're invested with the power of Janavamata's mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls. So Prabhupada claimed himself to be both the Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. So, as Diksha Guru, he is the representative of our Diksha Pranali, our Diksha Sampradaya, which has its Siddha Sarup back to Anangamanjari. And the Nam initiation is going back to Rupamanjari.
Takže
Did you grasp it?
Takže
Šila Prabhupáda se prohlásil jak za Diksha Guru, tak Shiksha Guru, a tím pádem on reprezentuje jako obě ty linie.
Jo, ale tak bylo, že přesto, že náma, ale všechno ve všem, to je prostě jako hlavní, tak bychom neměli podceňovat ten naši Dikšama, který jako důležitý zasvěcení, protože ty vlastně jsou dávány Džáhnava Maty. Takže Šila Prabhupáda se prohlásil za Dikša, je dalším Šišadovem, Dikšadovem, takže on v té Dikše, on vlastně to tam představuje tu milost Džáhnava Maty, a v těch Aranga Manjari a to zasvěcení Shiksha vlastně se vrací zpátky k Rupa Manjari.
Janava's line is coming through Nityananda.
A ta linie Janava Maty prochází skrze
Nityananda. You know, so in this way, of course, Nityananda appears both in the Bhagavad Sampradaya and in the Diksha Sampradaya, Mantra Diksha Sampradaya. So in either way, however you cut it, you know, Srila Prabhupada's position, you know, as an extremely compassionate representative of Janava Nittai, you know, cannot be disputed.
Takže ať je to, jak chce postavit Srila Prabhupády jako představitel, no, jako nesmírně soucitného, jako prostě na té úrovni Jana Manitáce nemůže být diskutováno.
It is stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat that it is only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that the Madhurya services to Radha and Krishna in the mood of Radha Dasyam has been broadcast all over the world.
Pouze a výhradně milostí Nityananda, že ty služby Radhanání, Madhurya se jsou rozšířeny po celém světě.
In the book Murali Vilas, it is illustrated how even Rupa Goswami Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they all paid their homage to Janava Mata. And in the Nitya Lilas, it is described in Ramchandra Goswami's book, Anangamanjari Samputika. In this book, it is described how the Manjaris, such as Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Mani Manjari, and these several Manjaris are described, Rupa Manjari being highly prominent among them, but they all go with Anandamanjari to do the Prem Sevas in the Nikunja Bower House when Radha and Krishna are in intimacy.
Je popsáno, že jsou tam popsány různé ty manželi, Ananga manželi, Zatru manželi a několik z nich a také Ruta manželi, která je jako hlavní z nich, ale všechny jdou vždycky s Ananga manželi, když jdou do těch kůžů a je tam připravili ty, řekli, ty nejdůvěrnější zavolám rád, jak vyšli.
So we should all feel very fortunate that somehow or other, by divine grace, we've become, at least to some extent, to the extent that we are receptive, we've become the objects of the mercy of Radharani's younger sister.
Že můžeme být do té míry, do jaké jsme schopni to vnímat, že jsme objekty milosti Radharani mít mladší sestry.
Heino Nitai Dinevai, Radha Krishna Paitenai. This is a hint, the internal understanding of what that's all about. So, when we say Prabhupada's mood, how deep do you want to go with it?
se řekne Kalpana Nára, jak hluboko chcete jít.
You know, and different devotees, according to their angle of vision, will have, you know, so many arguments. But I don't care. Let them argue according to their own, you know, mindset. It is none of my business. You know, my business is to go deep into my own bhajan. And whenever Krishna arranges to at least share a little something with others. Does that answer your question? At least a little? who wants to dare open up the can of worms, right?
We have another devotee who was in your close some people called him and come to someone of her to Mahalo. And he has mentioned that you have told him the proper mood by which one should put himself before he starts kirtan. But he didn't say anything specific about it. I was really curious, what is the proper mood when one starts kirtan or japa or anything? One should endeavor to end it.
Well, there are different levels of discussion, you know, concerning that as well. The real proper mood, you know, is that this is the name of my lover, or this is the name of my son, or this is the name of my best friend, or this is the name of my master. You know, and because I love my master, I love my friend, I love my son, I love my lover, therefore I can't not chant his name. I can't stop chanting his name. His name's constantly riddling my heart.
O tom, že ten člověk vstoupil do specifické, speciální jako nálady předtím, než to šestý a svaté jméno, ale nemluvil o tom konkrétně, a to je jako otázka, jaký je ta správná nálada. Ten opravdu jako věci řekl, že jsou také různé úrovně, jakých se dá o tom mluvit, ale že správní třeba nálada je prostě, že já zpívám jméno svého milovaného, svého otce, svého pána, že prostě, když vyštívám jméno svého milovaného, jméno svého syna, jméno svého přítele, jméno svého pána, tak nemůžu prostě přestat, nemůžu jako nespívat jejich jméno.
And because I'm separated from my lover, how can I go on living? Because I'm separated from my beloved son, our beloved son. How can I go on living?
Odloučení od svého milovaného syna, jak můžu dál žít?
You know, I'm separated from my best friend. How can I go on living? There's a very sweet story. There's one temple here, Ramjibai. Ramjibai. Down near the Brajbasi sweet shop, just across from the road, there's one satsang hall called Ramjibai Satsang Hall. And every year in the Margashirsha month, that's Christmas month, after Kartik, the month after Kartik, so during that month, they hold a 3-day, 24-hour, a 3-day Akhandik Mahamantra Kirtan program in commemoration of his disappearance, Ramjibai's disappearance.
Každý rok ten další měsíc po Kartiku, ten má další měsíc Krišna, tak oni tam žádají třídenní nepřetržitý kirtan na počest právě toho Ramjibai.
Ramjibai was a young boy, fairly young boy.
Ten Ramjibai byl dost mladý muž.
I think he was 8 years old. I think he was 8 years old. I can't remember for sure, but that's the number that comes to my mind. And he was he lived in another village outside of Braja. But he used to play with this beautiful boy. He used to play ball with this beautiful boy who he held as his best friend in his heart. This beautiful boy used to come every day and play with him. So then one day, the boy told him that I'm going home. One day, the boy told him that I have to leave now. I'm going back to my village. So, Ramjibai, he asked, where's your village? Why are you going? Where's your village? Where are you going? He told him that I'm going to Vrindavan. That's my village. That's where I live. So he left. And Ramjibai was feeling so much separation. This was not so long ago. So, at the age of 8, he renounced everything and left family and everything and somehow made his way to Braja. And he was looking everywhere for his friend. So, not far from here, he just sat down on the road, crying, and fasted to death. He
yoksa işte dünyayı olmaz.
That's the mood that we should be chanting, the lady. How can we live without him? We've been living without him for, since time immemorial, but it should be coming to us by the grace of our Guru Parampara. A little insight, you know, some depth of understanding. Who is that we've been looking for and haven't been able to find practically anywhere in this material world? But it's that person that we've been looking for. We've been looking everywhere in all the wrong places. And you couldn't find them anywhere. So our only recourse is to cry out his holy name and beg for his mercy. Please, 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 take me to your lotus feet. I can't live without you anymore. That's Sankirtan. Vipralambanam. That's the mood. In the company of devotees, we can actually cry if we have enough of a heart to do so. But in the public, we have to keep it the crying inside. But we should be crying for Krishna. How can you live without Krishna? Maintaining our fly-like existence, pretending to be some kind of devotees. Do we have a heart or not? Do we have any idea of what is bhakti? Or are we still, you know, barely scratching the surface? Licking the outside of the jar of honey. We have to go deep. If we want to get what our Guru Parampara wants to give us. And our human form of life is very, very short. We hardly have any time to do what we really need to do to get there. So we have to be serious about the direction of our spiritual progress. Don't think that Sankirtan is not Raghunatha Bhakti. Sankirtan is Raghunatha Bhakti when that Sankirtan Yoga is prompted by the lobha, the greed, the intense desperation to attain the service of Radha and Krishna in the eternal land of Raja. Sankirtan is not just an external affair. It has its external feature, but it is not an external affair. Sankirtan is the heart's endeavor to prove to Krishna how much
we want to serve his lotus feet. And that compassion, it is the nature of the soul, gradually evolves to the platform of endeavoring to remind others of their long lost friend. Just like the gopis make arrangements, cowherd boys also help, especially the Priyanama Sakhas. They also help make arrangements for Krishna to meet with various other gopis, or gopis to meet with Krishna, various gopis to meet with Krishna. So in the same way, Sankirtan has that internal feature of making arrangements for other gopis and gopis to have the opportunity to actually fulfill their longing, their, to, you know, to come to the end of their search, you know, for their long lost friend, long lost son, long lost lover. So, I don't know if your gurus will agree with me, but that's the way I think about it when I perform sankirtan. Back home, back to Godhead. Back to Braja. What time is it, please? 10 o'clock. So, I didn't bring my harmonium. and Gopal didn't bring his mridanga. But I guess we should be kirtan. Because you have everything here? So bring it out. But we can't have it for very long because I don't want to keep, because he locks the gate.
No.
At a certain time?
Okay.
Oh, good. You have one of my
favorite ones.
One of my favorite ones. And I don't even have to sit on the floor and play. Who has it? This is fuzzy.
Yeah. You know the cause? You know the cause?
Cause. Yes, because the reed is slightly coming over to the edge of the reed chamber. So just.
It's not difficult to restart.
No.
Okay, we have another one.
You want to keep the door closed?
Yeah, sure.
Close the door, please. Bond, you let the door open.
He'll bring the radar close.